You're exactly right. Working with Friesen Nichols, doing those studies that the city initiated was very important to look at the bay and see how the bay moves and flows. And we can just look to the recent history. Just a couple of months ago, it feels like it was years ago, but just a couple of months ago with the hurricanes and the tropical storms, Hannah, and et cetera, we saw the inflow, the changes in our bay and the amount of water that came in. So you can see that the bay isn't a closed system when we're talking about Corpus Christi Bay in our area. At approximately 1.4 turnover in our bay system. So like the city manager said, it isn't a closed bay. So that's an important point to begin the conversation when you're working on it.
What was that? What was the turnaround time? You said the whole water turns over basically right in the bay.
About 1.4 years.
1.4 times
years.
A year.
It takes about 1.4 years for the bay to turn over.
Okay, so about a year and a half or so, the whole bay water is turned over.
Yes,
but I think that's her point, is that it is classified as it's a bay and estuary behind a an island. So it is a closed system compared to what I'm sure she was referring to, the open ocean.
Yeah.
So, for example, desal plant in San Diego, that's a direct open ocean system. Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay is within the bay, and they're just different locations. I think that's what she was getting at. I mean, I understand what you're saying about there is circulation. It's not a totally enclosed system.
But it does take
a year and a half for the water to turn over, so things can happen. That's what she was getting at, I think. Mm-hmm.
But that's a very important point to make. You know, there's the argument of a closed system and physically and a closed system being you're pulling water out of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And like those examples that you brought up, those are examples where they're taking it straight out of the ocean. Yes, we understand we're in a bay, we're behind a barrier island, but working with the science, doing the proper studies, we're trying to get the modeling and understanding of that inflow and outflow that this bay has. And it's a very dynamic bay. And so we have a lot of those freshwater inflows from our discharges within the city, and then also through the Nueces River and all of our little tributaries into the bay system. Am I correct, Jason?
Well, and I think, you know, Dr. McKinney is the expert here. I think it's a very important distinction. A lot of people hear closed and they think stagnant. And so the bay here, all of our estuaries, it's such a unique ecosystem. It's relatively shallow. We do have the barrier islands. So it's relatively constrained, but not stagnant. And I think that's a little bit of the point. And there's, so I think definitions and expectations are important, right? So the system is constrained, which is why ideally everything would go offshore. If the ideal is not available, but we can still do it environmentally sustainably, then that's the approach. But the report that Steve's referring to is a Texas Water Development Board report that looked at freshwater inflows to the Corpus Christi Bay area. And that includes Nueces Bay, Corpus Christi Bay, Oso Bay. And what they saw was that under median freshwater inflow conditions, and so this is freshwater flows from our rivers and creeks, that every 1.4 years, and this is rough math, you know, the models are only as good as the information you put it in them. So the output of the model is every 1.4 years, the volume of the bay is exchanged based on those median freshwater inflows. So that's just one dynamic that happens in the system. Precipitation, evaporation, tidal exchange, all of these other things are also going on in the system. And one interesting thing that isn't often a part of the conversation, we talked about the Mary Roads pipeline earlier, is that through the Mary Roads pipeline, the city's actually importing fresh water from other watersheds that wouldn't necessarily go into our bays and estuaries. We're importing that water from Lake Texan and the Colorado River. That water is used and then treated through the city's wastewater treatment plants and then discharged as treated effluent. So there's a lot of dynamics, and we're even bringing some freshwater inflows from other watersheds, but it is a constrained system. I think Dr. McKinney's point on that is exactly right. And if that was the intention of the question,
I believe it might have been, yes.
Can I just add, the second part was important too, which was, do we have any experience?
Yes.
So from what I understand, and these guys can correct me if I'm wrong, the experts in the business here, but we As I studied anyway and have been learning about desalinization, the first step is to pre-treat the water before you put it, as Jason said, into these high pressurized cylinders. And we have over 100 years of experience in doing that. That's exactly how we're producing our water today, the pre-treatment through sedimentation and other means through taking particles out of the water and then treating it and using things to make sure it's clean and safe. So that's about 50% or so of the desal process. We, like I said, have over 100 years experience in that. And then the second part is relatively easy. You just have to watch the pressures and the, make sure you have a good maintenance plan. So it's not rocket science per se. It can be dangerous, right? But we feel confident in ourselves and the various procurement processes we're looking at. One includes a building of the plant and then an operation of the plant for a year. And that would also be a training ground for staff. So experts who build the plant would operate it, but their assignment would also be to train staff on how to operate it. That's, we're not saying we're going to go that direction. That's one option we're looking at.
I see. Yes, sir.
I wanted to add on about the treatment plant operators the city manager was talking about. So they are very, very well qualified. Right now we have 12 that actually operate. There's others that are licensed to operate, but they do maintenance functions. So we have 12 operators, but with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, the licensing, 10 of the 12 have the A license, which is the highest you can get. So again, going kind of to the experience and how qualified they are, these are some very, very smart operators. And the other two, you know, of course, you're kind of building the staff, but they're on their way. Also on the water side, so our assistant director of water quality and treatment and our water quality manager and our water treatment plant manager, they all have what's called a double A qualification. Because they have the A license from TCEQ in water, and also they have the A license in wastewater. So there's only, across the entire state of Texas, there's only about 180 that are part of that, they call it the club, the double A club. And we have three of them right here that are working on for the city. So, you know, that's pretty awesome when you're looking at terms of the qualifications and experience. And so, like the city manager was talking about, for reverse osmosis, the first part of it is really kind of conventional treatment. We have that down cold. And then it's just, you know, learning the reverse osmosis part of it afterwards and getting hiring more people and training more staff at that point.
We talked about the TCEQ for those out there who are listening. The TCEQ is the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. This particular question from a gentleman named Frank is, what is the reaction of the TCEQ to dumping in the bay versus the Gulf?
I will say that the TCEQ has already permitted a desalination concentrate discharge inshore in the Gulf. That's an industrial facility. From what I understand, it's not operational yet. But in our conversations with TCEQ, they have the perspective that if we can prove sustainability, there's a group at TCEQ who looks specifically at water quality issues for these discharges. And they have some flexibility to be able to say whether or not your discharge is likely to cause any harm. And so in conversations with them, we've worked pretty diligently with their modelers to make sure that we're just not using assumptions on bay dynamics and other things, but truly modeling the discharge using accurate data that we've surveyed from the bay. And so, you know, I think from TCEQ's perspective, it's the city's burden to prove sustainability before TCEQ would approve the permit.
I see.
And so that's where we are right now. I think the ideal would be to go offshore. As a matter of fact, the state recently passed, I believe it was maybe 3 years ago,
that's what it is, yeah,
an expedited permitting process. If you do go, is it 3 miles?
Yeah, and what Jay is talking about, exactly. What TCEQ, they just look at things that come at them to try to evaluate what the best approach is. But where they have recognized, as Jason was getting at, is that they can expedite that permitting when the discharges are in areas that are not in sensitive areas, like inlet and passes around Port Aransas. That's a sensitive area. You don't want to have concerns about animals and eggs and larvae coming in and out of there. But outside that zone, they will expedite your permitting if you put those discharges there. So they will do some things like that, but they're going to evaluate whatever comes at them for impact. That's what their job is.
Yeah, can I just add along, because yes, this is a thing that gets lost in all the material too, which is that we're not going to do anything that's not approved by experts. when it comes to the environment. The city's not in the business of doing that. First of all, we're regulated by the state. We have to get permits. If we can't prove, as Jason said, to the state that this won't have an environmental impact, we're not going to get the permits. We're not going to be able to do it. So there's a regulatory oversight process, and we have to prove to them, to the state, the experts, scientists at the state, that this won't have an adverse impact. And but before we're doing that, we have experts like Jason, who's a board-certified engineer, environmental engineer, and this is one of his main projects with Fries and Nichols. So him and his team of environmental scientists, experts in the field, are guiding the city. And one thing we do in our business is trust the professionals, right? And we hire professionals. We have staff at the city that are professionals in the field, as Kevin just mentioned. But we rely on the professionals. We should do that as a community, and we certainly do it as a city. And so those two things are going on simultaneously. One, we have scientific experts helping us to answer that question. And then two, we have to prove it to another group of scientists and experts at the state. And so our goal is to make sure we have no negative environmental impacts.